Fuck it.
Fuck it.
Fuck it.
Hey, mama. If you are a mom and are tired of the wash, rinse, repeat, burnout cycle of motherhood, this podcast is for you. If you feel lonely and isolated in your motherhood journey, this podcast is for you. If you feel like you have completely lost your identity since your babies were born, this podcast is for you. If you feel like every other mom has it together except for you, this podcast is for you. My name is Amanda, and I'm a life coach dedicated to teaching every mom the tools she needs to liberate herself off the back burner. I am living proof that a woman can be present and loving to her kids while also being a whole ass person outside of being that kid's mom. The secret? Learning when to say fuck it.
Ugh, this paper's in my way. My desk is so small. All right, I think I shifted enough things on my desk to be able to focus and concentrate. Hello, my name is Amanda. I'm your host on Fuck It Mothering today and all day and every day. What the fuck am I saying? I don't know what the fuck that was about. That was horrible. Okay, I'm doing that over. All over again.
Fuck it.
Fuck it.
Fuck it.
Hello, my beautiful mamas, and welcome to another episode of Fuck It Mothering. I am your host, Amanda Haro, and I am so happy to be here in this space with you guys, but most happy, no offense to you, that the sun is out. The sun is out. It is a beautiful day. I see giant, beautiful, glorious Pixar clouds out my window, and I am so happy. I'm feeling the vitamin D. Like, seasonal depression is real, especially in the Midwest. And it is such a Midwest thing for me to like start this episode talking about the weather, because we're kind of like obsessed about the weather out here, especially in the winter months. And in the spring, when it's finally starting to get nice, God, we're just insufferable. But it's like 50 degrees right now, and it's supposed to get up to 59, which is basically 60. And I'm super stoked about that. It was supposed to be in the low 50s yesterday and didn't quite get there. It got to like 49 or 46. I don't remember, 40 something. And my oldest daughter, Eowyn, the night before was looking at the forecast. She's like, Mom, can I wear shorts? It's supposed to be 53. And I was like, I mean, I still think that's too cold for shorts, but you live your life. And when I went to pick her up off the bus, because like I said, it was 46. I think it was 46. And it was overcast all day. So we missed the solar eclipse. We didn't get to see it here in Wisconsin because it was just complete cloud coverage. Oh my God, I almost said cow coverage, which is also pretty accurate in Wisconsin. Cloud coverage, 100% cloud coverage, 100% of the day. And I was like, so did you regret your choice of shorts? Because it's kind of cold out. And she's just like, no, it's really nice. And that is the epitome of the Midwest. We think 46 degrees is really nice weather. Go out in shorts. And we can't stop talking about the weather because it's just kind of a big deal out here, you know? The funniest part about yesterday was that the sun finally came out. The clouds broke a little tiny bit right at sunset. I laughed so hard. I went outside to help my two younger ones get their bikes off the bike rack in the garage. And I saw the sun peeking through as it was setting. And I was like, that is just a slap in the face. That's just rude, son. Okay. You might as well have just stayed behind the clouds. This is just an insult. It's like you could have showed up, but you chose not to. And now you're just coming at the end being like, oh, I'm so sorry. I wish I could have been there for you today, but I wasn't. Fuck you, son. That was rude. Oh my God. Thank God for coffee. I'm pretty tired today. And I was very tired yesterday because the night before, my kids were up until fucking midnight on a school night. It was a Sunday night. I was like, what are you doing with your lives? I put my earplugs in at like at like 10:30, I fell asleep and then woke up and took them out because I was like, well, they're probably like settled down by now. It's almost midnight. And I heard fucking talking downstairs. I'm like, those bitches, are you kidding me right now? What are you doing with your life? You're going to be so tired when I wake you up in 6 hours for school. I was so mad. And then I was so mad that I had a hard time falling asleep because I was like laying in bed, so mad at them for being awake. It was just this horrible cycle. I don't know what time I finally fell asleep that night, but I was very tired yesterday. And when my alarm went off at 5:30 and I crawled downstairs, I just wanted to cry. I just wanted to cry because I just felt that tired. I don't do well when I don't get enough sleep. And I think that's okay. Our society really, like us in America, we just glorify overworking and we glorify like burning yourself out and not getting enough sleep. The whole sleep when you're dead joke. And it just is so unhealthy and toxic. Sleep is a basic necessity, a basic human need. Right up there with getting enough to eat and getting enough water to drink, you need enough sleep. I forgot what study it was, but they actually are learning now that getting into a certain like REM cycle of sleep and staying there long enough allows your brain to like flush out toxins. And so when you don't get enough sleep or you don't get enough good quality sleep, your brain is literally like not able to get rid of toxic chemicals. It's necessary. And we need to stop treating sleep like it's a luxury, like it's something that we get when we've worked hard enough, because too many of us subscribe to that. I definitely did. It's in my Capricorn nature to, you know, we swim down to the depths of the ocean and then climb to the peak of the mountain before everyone else is awake. That's like the Capricorn spirit, the sea goat spirit. And that's been a struggle for me my whole life, is being okay with rest. And it's just kind of sad when I took a step back and really like observed that trait of myself. I'm like, I truly believe it was just such a ingrained belief in me that I have to earn rest. I have to do enough and be enough and accomplish enough in order to validate me resting. That was a bit of a tangent, but I feel like it was a good tangent. There's something I wanted to talk to you guys about and I forgot what it was. I need to put my intro things into my notes because I'll think of it right before I hop on, and then I hop on and I start talking to you guys and my brain goes in a different direction and I forget what I was going to mention in my intro. Ooh, I remember what it was. I have successfully kept little tiny succulents alive for over a year now. And I'm super proud of that fact because I am a serial plant killer. Just the worst. And I don't even care because it's just like, look, I'm really good at keeping tiny humans alive. I keep my dog alive. I don't need anything else to take care of. I don't want a project. And we have the succulents because one of my daughters put together a birthday wish list from, was it Overstock or, no, it wasn't. It was, God, the one Kelly Clarkson reps, the like home goods shit that like housewives would make a list for, whatever. And she wanted these little baby succulents because she thought that they were like fake succulents. And then someone bought them for her birthday. And we realized, oh God, this is a project. This isn't just a cute little succulent, plastic succulent you can put on your nightstand. This is something I got to take care of. But then I did it. Two of the succulents have not survived. It's not my fault, actually. It was Aria's fault. She killed them. But I'm so proud of myself for keeping these little guys alive. And they actually bring me so much joy. They're on my little kitchen window sill. And one of them, when it was growing, grew these two offshoots. And so it looked like arms. And it looked like it just wanted to give me a hug. And it has since, like, those have grown more and they don't look like arms anymore, which makes me a little sad. I kind of want to prune it to make it look like arms again. But they're getting way too big for their tiny little containers that I'm positive were probably meant to, they were probably meant to be repotted right away instead of staying in the tiny little plastic things that they shipped them in. But they've been alive, so whatever. But I actually like went and I researched the type of soil I was going to need for succulents and went and bought it, got little planters. The ones at Walmart were like not cute. So then I went on Amazon and I found some cute ones that were also funny, which I will always go for the laugh. 10 times out of 10, I will go for the laugh. I don't care if it makes me seem immature or whatever. People can have their opinions about shit that I do and shit that I have. If it makes me laugh, I'm doing it. But the things on Amazon, the funny ones, they were like $15 a piece. And I need at least two of them, depending on the size of those planters. I might have needed four because I think I can like, you know, combine the succulents in the pots. And then I looked at the Walmart ones and I'm like, wait, literally the only difference between the cute Amazon ones and the what I consider shitty Walmart ones is that the cute Amazon ones have the funny sayings on it. I can just take a Sharpie to the cheap Walmart ones. And so that's what I'm going to do. Hopefully before they start growing again, because I read something about how like there's times that you're supposed to transplant them. I will be so sad if I accidentally kill them in the process of transplanting them, which happened to me before. I had an orchid that I had had for years. I kept that orchid alive and I was so proud of myself. And then I transplanted it to a bigger pot and it fucking died. And I was so mad. So cross your fingers for me that I don't kill my succulents. And that if I do, I don't give up on myself as a gardener. Gardener is a very strong word. As one who owns miniature indoor plants and just a few miniature indoor plants. Shout out to all the gardeners out there, all you people with green thumbs. I applaud you. My Nana has a green thumb and I really wish that I would have inherited it, but I did not at all. That woman can make anything grow. And she loves it too. She's 86 and loves walking around in her garden. I don't know that she really like does as much work in her garden anymore. Obviously she's 86 and it's harder for her to do the things that she used to do. In her yard, she has a lemon tree that has the best lemons in the world. I still miss having the ability to go to my Nana's and just get a bunch of ginormous, juicy, sweet lemons. I mean, they're still tart, but as far as lemons goes, they were pretty sweet. And they just have so much juice. I don't know what she feeds that tree, except love and water, and speaks to it in Spanish. But it's so good, those lemons. And I've never been able to find anything like them in the stores. Nothing. And she also has a pomegranate tree. That thing gives us so many granadas every year. I say us as if it's like mine. But she'll have like 300, 400 fucking pomegranates and no one to give them to, or she, you know, gives them away to some family and the gardener, but she's always just like, somebody please take a bag full of fucking pomegranates. She's just drowning in them over there. It just grows and grows and grows. Like it just is. She just is that way with plants. And I am over here trying to keep this potted succulent alive and they're supposed to be easy. I might be hopeless and that might be okay. Or maybe I just need to learn. Just keep learning and experimenting, which is so hard for me as a perfectionist because I want to do it perfectly. I want to like be the best student. I've always been that way. And so it's hard when something doesn't, when I'm not getting it, or like I have to failing is so hard for me. I feel like failing is hard for most people. Cause it doesn't feel good. We don't want to fail. But if you're not willing to fail, if you're not willing to be messy, if you're not willing to look like an idiot, you're never going to learn.
you're never going to learn that thing that you want to do. But I'm also not super committed to learning how to garden because, again, it's just one more thing to keep alive. And I already have four children and a dog. That's plenty for me. Okay. And can we also just talk about why, as a 36-year-old, I still have to deal with random pimple breakouts? Okay. That should be reserved to the pubescent era of our lives when, like, our biggest worry was, God, what the fuck did we worry about back then? I can't think of anything. It's like our biggest problems were just like trying to keep our grades up so our parents wouldn't be pissed at us and like take our phone privileges away, or like we can't go on the internet because back when we were young, we had a family computer. We had a computer room, right? Where the whole family shared the computer and someone could not be on the phone, the house phone, the landline, while someone else was on the internet, because you would hear the in your ear. My kids cannot actually wrap their minds around that. They're like, wait, what? I don't understand. Yeah, it was a whole thing. But like, that was our biggest problem. Like, that's when we should have to deal with pimples and that bullshit. I've had children. My body has gone through enough. I have gone through enough. Why do I still need to deal with pimples? I have to get wrinkles and pimples together? Bullshit. Absolute bullshit. Yes, my skin has cleared up now. It didn't look that cute a few days ago, okay? I still have one on my back. On my back. 36 years old. Fuck this shit. I'm done. But I did not jump on here just to rant and rave about pimples, even though they're really super annoying. And I feel like we need to discuss it because it's bullshit that we should have them as adults. I leave it there. I did not come here just to talk about pimples and talk about whatever the fuck I talked about before that. Oh, my succulents. I came here to talk to you guys about one of like the simplest tools and most versatile tools that I teach my clients and that I use in my own life on a fucking regular basis. And it's called, this is not a problem. Because so much of our stress comes from us observing things in our life, circumstances, our kids' behavior, stuff our partners do if we're partnered, stuff our boss does, just the intricate cogs of our day. And when something doesn't go or someone isn't behaving the way that we would like, we look at it as a problem. And then when our brain thinks of something as a problem, it becomes hyper-focused on it so that it can fix it, so that it can come up with a solution. And when we're hyper-focused on the thing we don't like, it causes us a lot of stress in our bodies. And so learning to take a step back and remind yourself, this is not a problem, is so transformational. It's so transformational because you begin to realize how much of your energy has been going towards believing things need to be fixed. And when you remove yourself from that mindset and you tell your brain, no, it's okay. It's okay. It's okay that this is like this. It's okay that this is happening. Your stress levels instantly decrease. And you're able to then like use your prefrontal cortex and like you're able to like choose what you actually want to put your attention to. And I'm going to start giving you guys some like practical examples here, but I wanted to share it with you guys because I realized I hadn't shared it with my podcast community yet. I've posted about it on social media. I've written to my email newsletter about it. And this is going to be a very shameless post about, or plug rather, for my email newsletter. I've talked about it before and I'm going to keep talking about it because you need to be on it. And I know that as a mom, the last fucking thing you want is another goddamn email. I totally understand. I totally
totally, fully understand you. I respect the hell out of your email space. I cannot impress this enough. I truly, truly do, because I fucking get it, girl. We get so many emails from the school and from the dance studio and the karate studio and the hockey rink and anything, any store that we've ever put our email list, our email into so that way we can get like the customer rewards. And it just gets so overwhelming very, very quickly. But here's the reason why you still want to be on the Fuck It Mothering email newsletter. Because if you are a social media person, which most people are, and you find an account like Fuck It Mothering that you love, or another account, any account, you follow them, and then you go on to Instagram or Facebook or whatever, you know, whichever one is your pick, and you just scroll through your feed, and you think that it's going to give you a like diverse, equal opportunity for all of the accounts that you follow, but it doesn't, because it's based on an algorithm. And the algorithm takes a bunch of different factors in mind. It's constantly changing, and it makes it very difficult to consume the content that you actually want to consume. There's so much mindless numbing going on in our brains when we are clicking on social media. And everything that you're looking at on your feed is being designed for you by a bot. And so when you sign up for the Fuck It Mothering email newsletter, you're reclaiming your authority over the type of content that you consume. You're reclaiming it from this random bot that some team of developers designed, and they're designing it with their own interests in mind, because they want you to consume the content that's going to make them money, not the content that's going to grow you as a person, not the content that's going to feed your soul. And so if you love this podcast, you will love the email newsletter. It's once a week. It's packed with value and encouragement and humor, and it's going to feed your soul. And it's a way that you can reclaim your, like I said, reclaim your authority over what you choose to ingest, what you choose to put into you. That's what she said. I can't help myself. I'm 12, just perpetually 12. My daughter, my now 13-year-old daughter, she's like, Mom, you are a 12-year-old boy. Guilty as charged, I am. So since I already like taught this concept in my email newsletter, I'm going to read you guys the email that I sent out, because it does a really good job, and I'm going to elaborate on it for you guys. But also, this is kind of like a preview of what you get in the Fuck It Mothering email newsletter. Mom, she's wiping her boogers on the window. Make her stop. That's disgusting. Stop touching me with your knee. Roll up your window. I'm cold. Mom, unlock the windows. I'm so hot. Skip this song. I hate it. No, go back. I love that song. Mom, make her stop crying. I can't hear the song. For the above reasons, I absolutely hate being in the car with my children. I don't know if it's just my kids, but we can't make it out of our neighborhood most days without World War III commencing. It's always stupid shit that I could care less about, but I can't walk away from it because we're locked in this rectangular torture device that I'm pretty positive is a modern evolutionary tool to weed out the weak. My shoulders start to tense up. My eye begins twitching. Usually about 10 minutes in, I would start losing my shit and yelling, if no one talks or looks at each other or touches anyone else, then it would be actually impossible to fight. So just fucking stop. But they never stop. One day I thought, maybe it's not my job to make it stop. Maybe it's not a problem that my kids are psychos in the car. It was a brand new revolutionary thought at the time. So I tried it on to see how it felt, just like a new shirt that I liked the look of, but wasn't totally sold on yet because it was different than every other shirt in my closet. The next day, when we were all in the car together and the chaos revved up and my shoulders began to tense, I remembered, this is not a problem. I took a deep breath and actively released my shoulder muscles as I focused my mind on my new mantra. This is not a problem. This is not a problem. This is not a problem. Before I knew it, we were in the drop-off line at school and I hadn't lost my mind. Instead of beginning the day jumping into a stress bucket, I was able to zen out in my own mind while my kids were themselves. This is not a problem is one of the main tools I teach my clients, and they're always amazed at how much daily stress this simple sentence eliminates. Your toddler is having another tantrum? This is not a problem. Your teenager is pushing boundaries again? This is not a problem. No one has put their laundry away? This is not a problem. One of my clients was so stressed that she had been experiencing seizures on a weekly basis for a year and a half because of it. After 3 months of coaching with me, she got down to one seizure in a two-month period. And this amazing transformation began with working on the simple thought, this is not a problem. Try it out and let me know how it works for you. Cheers to not driving your jolly bunch of lunatics into the river. Because I shared this with my email list at Christmas time. And I love National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. It's a classic. So you see, it helps so much with the daily stupid shit that stresses you out. Because before, I would have that car ride with my kids, lose my fucking shit, and start my day with stress. And the way that the brain works is filters. It filters everything constantly because there are way too many inputs. I think it was like 90. I don't remember the number. It was, I want to say 90 million. That sounds like really high though. I need to find it. It's a lot of inputs that our brain is actually like processing, but it filters so much of that out because we would be like really overwhelmed if we were aware of how many inputs we were actually taking in every day. And so when you start your day with stress, what happens? You have a talk with yourself after the kids get out and be like, God, they're so awful. Every day always has to start out like this. And now I'm just like pissed off and stressed and I'm sweaty and I have to go to this meeting and I don't want to because I'm in a bad mood now. And the whole day is just going to be a fucking struggle because it started out bad again. And then your brain does that. Your brain uses that filter of this day is going to be shit. And then you go through your day using that filter. And all you see are more reasons to support the belief that because your day started out with stress, it was going to be stressful the entire day, the end. Merry fucking Christmas. Because that's what brains do. But when you're able to, in the moment of the thing that you're positive is a problem, say, this is not a problem. It's not a problem that my kids are themselves. You know, like, it's not a problem that my teenager is acting like a teenager. Maybe this is just normal. Maybe she won't always be like this. Because just focusing in on the teenager example, if you focus in on like the attitude and the behavior as a problem, not to say that you put up with it. Okay. Boundaries are a totally different subject, but you're like, this is a fucking problem. I have to fix this before it becomes cemented in just like her way of being. And then she's just a shitbag for the rest of her life. But maybe it's okay for teenagers to push boundaries. Doesn't mean you give in, but it's okay that they're doing it. That's a totally normal thing. All teenagers do it. It's not a problem. It doesn't mean that she's starting down a track that you'll never be able to get her out of if you don't do it now. You just need to give her time to figure her shit out. Hold space with the boundaries in place. But if you view it as a problem, you're going to start controlling her or trying to control your teenager. It's going to cause a whole host of actual problems. So much of this work is teaching people that they have authority over their brain because we're so used to believing all of our thoughts. We think something, we analyze a situation, a behavior we're seeing in our kids or in ourselves or in our spouse or like whatever. And we view whatever thought that comes up as gospel truth. We're just like, oh no, that's what's happening. Oh God, I have to fix it now. But the thoughts that are in your head are only the truth if you keep them. And that's what's so empowering about thought work, is that it puts you back in the driver's seat. So you're not at the behest of an unmanaged brain that's doing the best it can. Our brains are always trying to help us, but like, we need to help them help us, for lack of a better way of putting it. And believing every single thought that it produces for us is not helpful. We need to take a step back and really like evaluate those thoughts that are coming up and ask ourselves like, okay, is this actually true? Or do I actually want to believe that this is true? What's a different way that I could look at this? What's another option that we have? Because there's a million options. And this is not a problem is the perfect first step in learning how to do that, because it interrupts your normal programming. It helps you take a step back and take a look at the situation for what it really is. And then you get to make a choice instead of just believing all of the dramatization that your brain puts you into that you don't even realize because you're so used to it. I talked about this in episode 9 of the podcast, When Your Kids Give You the Finger, and I'll link to that in the description box so you can go take a listen to it. And I went into detail of this morning that I was having with my kids, a different morning, not the screaming in the car, a totally different morning, where I was able to use this tool to help myself get out of like the drama, the perceived drama of it all. And that morning was like something out of a fucking TV sitcom. It was just ridiculous. I couldn't write it if I tried. So go take a listen to that. But then, you know, earlier in the introduction here, I was talking about yesterday and how I was so fucking tired. And I was sitting at the table with my coffee and I just wanted to cry because I was just that tired and just like write the day off. But I told myself, this is not a problem. And it immediately grounded me. It stopped the spiral that I was about to take. I was about to go down the rabbit hole of wishing the previous night had been different, that the kids had been different, that my sleep had been different, because I wasn't able to go back to sleep very easily after I went and yelled at them at midnight. And my sleep was just really broken that night. I don't know what was going on. Maybe it was a solar eclipse. Who the fuck knows? And like wishing that all of that had been different so that I could have woken up with a bit more refreshed, with more sleep. And going down the rabbit hole of like thinking about how hard the day was going to be because I was tired, because that's where my brain wanted to go. But if you worry, you suffer twice. You suffer before it even happens, and then you suffer again when it actually happens. And then sometimes we also spiral in regret, making the suffering thrice. But I told myself, this is not a problem. And it immediately shifted my thinking into accepting my reality. Because that's really where our suffering lies, is when we're like rejecting reality, when we're refusing to accept it for what it is. I accepted my reality that I did not get enough sleep. But I told myself, I can still do things tired. Everything is fine. This is not a problem. I was legit on the brink of a meltdown. And then I immediately shifted gears. And I sat there and drank my coffee for 10 minutes. And I got up and I made lunches. I made breakfast, got the kids up, got them to school, had a really great day. I was tired, but I had a really great day. It could have been totally different. And I know that from experience. I know that just from remembering days when I woke up really tired and I believed that it was a huge fucking problem, that it meant the whole day was going to be shit. And then I had a shitty day, because our thoughts create our reality. Our brains are constantly just producing our reality for us. Our thoughts create our feelings,
which inspire actions, which produce our results. Human tendency is always to want to change either the action or to change the circumstance in order to change our results. But it never works because our thoughts are producing it. You don't have to change anything about your life in order to feel fully content and at peace and happy. You just have to learn how to manage your brain. I hope you loved this episode. I hope it was really helpful for you. Please let me know in the review section of Apple Podcasts what you thought about it, or in the Q&A section on Spotify, because both of those things help with the algorithm. So that way, when other women are looking for a safe space where they can be whole ass people and talk about the hard shit and the funny shit and the things that no one talks about, they can find me. And when you do that, just take a screenshot of it and DM me on Instagram, Facebook, or LinkedIn. You'll get automatically entered into my monthly book and Starbucks gift card raffle. I love you guys. I hope you have a great week. Are you living your one wild life to the fullest? You're not? Why the fuck not? What are you waiting for? The time to live is now, mama. Do not wait until your youngest is in college. Let your dreams hire me for an hour so I can explain how I can help you achieve any goal in your life. You've put yourself off long enough. It's time to pour into you. The link to schedule your 60-minute complimentary consultation is in my show notes. Join the community of Fuck It Moms by following me on Instagram and Facebook at Fuck It Mothering. That's fuck without the U. So F-C-K It Mothering. Make sure you subscribe to my channel so you never miss your weekly encouragement. And please rate, review, comment, and share. All of these things help with the algorithms, so that way when other overwhelmed moms are looking for encouragement, they can find me. Every month, I give away one of my favorite books and a Starbucks card to a lucky winner. All you have to do to enter is write a review or tag me in social media when you share an episode. See you next Sunday, gorgeous.